the words of our mouth and the meditations in our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Off and on this, what do we say, winter and spring? How long have I been doing? A good while anyway. That I've off and on tried to follow up with Pentecost, where we, the church, received something of the presence of God, though not seen with the eye anymore, but to, somehow or another they experienced the presence of Christ with them. And that's the meaning of Pentecost, the coming of a spirit of Christ within the church. Now, the question that I raised then was, how do we go about, if we can't see Jesus, how can we come about experiencing something of his presence in our life? How can we communicate with the risen but unseen Christ of God? Or is that just wish thinking? And maybe there is no such thing as experiencing the presence of Christ. But the church says no, it is possible to do so. And they learned very quickly that they were, and it's in Book of Acts chapter 2 verse 42, they list four things that were very important. They're not the only four, but they're the important things. Yes, sir. Oh, what are you going to do?
Why are you so we can hear?
Don't frown. Don't smile.
We're going to get this worked out before it's over with.
Okay. I didn't see it back there. I would have tucked it in my britches. What? Who's talking to me up here? About me. Well, they discovered that there were four things at least, and there were many more, but there were four things that they could rely on, that if they did these four things when the community gathered together, as we are gathered together here this morning, we would do these. And one of them was they would talk about Jesus. They'd talk about him and tell stories of Jesus. That's called the apostles' teaching. It wasn't the creed, because the creeds weren't even written then. It's too early for that. But they would talk about Jesus and tell stories. One time we were walking along, da-da-da, this happened, and this has happened. And the more they would talk, then the more they would begin to experience something of his presence in their life. That's number one. Number two was they would break bread together. That's the communion service. And he said, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood of the new covenant. And when they did that, they began to experience something. When they came and took that bread and took that wine, they felt as if there was something right over opposite them, the person of Jesus. And I want you to do that when you come to the altar. Don't let your mind wander, but focus upon the fact that that bread and that wine is bringing to you something of the live presence of Christ in your life. And the third thing was the fellowship when they got together. The fellowship itself, there would be Christ coming through various ones of you. And you know some people in this church that when you are with them, you have a sense of something, a presence about them, that they sort of know the Lord, as it were. And so the presence of Christ can come through the various deeds and actions and words that the congregation does. That's very important, that we care for one another. And that's what they could experience Christ in that way. You all know very well my own tragedy of my life years ago when I was in New Orleans. Well, I mean, that church down there, Trinity Church in New Orleans, there wasn't any question to me that I was experiencing the presence of Christ in the way that they reached out to me in the hour of my destruction. and held on to me. And so that was and then the fourth one that they said is when we sing the praises of God. When we tell God how much we love Him, love is the only commodity in the world that grows when you express it, grows when you give it away. If you give away your money, you don't have it anymore. But if you, in a sense, talk about your love for God, then something grows within you of the presence of that God. Now, that's the Christian experience. You can say, oh, I'm not sure that any of that's right. Fine, do it. Do it if you want to. But this is what they did. But there were other things. And today I pick up one of those other things that we do a lot. And I want to focus on it for a few minutes this morning. I'm going to tell you what it is, and then I'm going to put a chair over here, and I'm going to lead you through this meditation. And it's called a contemplation. Now, there's two words, meditation and contemplation. And they're slightly different. A meditation is when you think about something in the presence of Christ. If you think about, what should I do in this circumstance? Our president is obviously thinking about, what should he do about these drone strikes and bombing people? And suddenly the world has become very conscious of the fact that in war, you're not supposed to kill civilians. Well, good Lord of mercy, I'd have never heard of that in World War II. We killed a lot of German children, women, innocent people. But you have to, in a sense, if it's going to come weighing down, then he is trying to determine that. What to do? What does the Lord want me to do with this? And we have found that somehow or another, that if you would sing these little praises of God, you are focusing on the presence of Christ, and that presence of Christ, in a way, feeds back into your mind subtly, what God's will is for you. And you can be led in God's will. Now, these are all different Christian experiences that it's real important that we keep alive. Yeah, it's good that we do outreach. We need to go do the good things and feed the poor and all of that. That is real good. But if you cannot do that unless you first have a spiritual anchorage, a spiritual foundation upon which you go out and feed the poor and do the good works, the outreach of the church. That's important. But you don't start with outreach. You've got to start with the fundamentals of experiencing something of the presence of God in your life individually and collectively as a congregation. And then the Lord will say, now go out and do. And that's important. The difference between meditation and contemplation is meditation is thinking about something. As I mentioned, our president is thinking ardently about what to do about these drone strikes that seem to kill not only the target, but some other people too. He's working through that. I'm glad I don't have to do that. Contemplation, though, is different. And this is what we're going to be doing today. The contemplative life that we associate with the monks and nuns, it's not just for them, it's for all of us to contemplate. And that means not so much thinking about something, but being empty inside your mind and your whole body, and empty yourself that you can be filled with the presence, the fullness of God, for no other purpose than experiencing the presence of God in your life. That's contemplation. You're not trying to solve any one particular problem. You are simply there being still and being empty. This might be called the stillness prayer, the emptying prayer. That's contemplation. Now, some form of this went back before Christianity. It was contemplative prayer as being still to experience the presence of God. It was true in ancient Israel. It was true particularly in India. And the Hindu religion is filled with that. The Buddhist religion is filled with contemplative stillness to experience something of the presence of God in your life. So it is not exclusively Christian, although the content of it is centered around the being of Jesus. When you experience that presence, then it is the presence is going to be likened to that which we know in the Nazarene carpenter. Psalm 46 that we read today. That's very important. Well, it's Dennis got me all mixed up here. Here, Psalm 46. Be still. Now see, look, that's it. Be still and know that I am God. It's in the stillness that you begin to experience something of the reality and the presence of God in your life. Be still and know that I am God. Here's another one. This is an important, beautiful prayer. O God of peace, who has taught us that in returning and rest, another synonym for stillness, we shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be our strength. By the might of thy Spirit, lift us, we pray thee, to thy presence, where we may be still and know that thou art God. Now that's what we're all about with this contemplative type of. Now this is one of the reasons the church asks you to get to church 5 minutes ahead of time. Now if you, and I wish y'all wouldn't stay too long outside. If you're gonna do the social hour out there, then come 15 minutes early and do 10 minutes of hugging and kissing and carrying on and doing all of that. But get in here and kneel down. This lovely lady does it. She's the first one in this church every time. And then I see her kneeling in prayer there, in the stillness of that. And what she's doing is emptying herself that somehow or another the fullness of the presence of God may come into her life. Now, it's not going to be overwhelming necessarily. This is why I ask Mia frequently. I say, Mia, sing. Why? She has that haunting quality of her voice. I know many of you can detect that. And if you will be still when she's singing, close your eyes and simply listen to Mia's voice. Just swell. It's all in the Korean language. I haven't the slightest idea what those words are. That doesn't matter. There's something to communicate it through the tone of her voice that is powerful and brings us to the stillness in our own soul. Now, how do we go about this? Here's a series of steps. Then I'm going to sit over here in a minute, not on the floor, but on a chair, and sit over here, and I'm going to lead you through it. First of all, you need to find a place and a time at home where you can relax the body. If things are too tight, loosen them. Now, don't do that here in church. But I think I did that once. And I wasn't even contemplating. First of all, relax your body. If y'all don't know why everybody's laughing because you weren't here, then don't ask me to tell you, because Lynn will get mad if I do. So you can ask somebody else. Then when you relax the body like this, now you've got, this is the difficult part. You have got to empty yourself of your mind, what you are thinking. You don't want to think anything. You want to get empty in your head. Still. See, that's what stillness really means. Empty in there. Like, now this is hard to do. Where is Ralph? See, Ralph's body hurts. Obviously, look at him. He fell off of a ladder and darn near killed himself, I guess. But if your body hurts, it's hard to empty yourself because that focuses on you. It's okay. Then maybe that's not the time when you're going to do contemplative prayer. Ralph, if you don't do it today, yeah, you're excused. It's fine. But also, if you are emotionally, God, it's hard to tell you. Well, Lynn and I have this little dog called Nathaniel. He's a, I don't know what, he's a mixture of a couple of things. But he's had two surgeries on his back this year. And then Friday night, in the middle of the night, 2:30, he starts screaming. Screamed loud, and he couldn't stop. Here we go. And so we got finally dressed, and he stopped a little bit. And we went to Starkville again. And it looks as if he's got a vertebrae in the neck is gone. And so when he twists a certain way, he's going to scream. And I don't know. It's hard to take when a dog screams with pain. You know that. So that's where I am this morning. So I may not be able myself to get still because of that. So if that happens, don't worry about it. Just let it go. Say, I can't do it today. But if you're successful, there is a way in which sometimes you can be so unabsorbed in anything that was going on in your mind, you're so empty, that things that go around, you really don't take them in. I remember teaching this thing to a group of young adults up at Gray Center a number of years ago, and there was a whole flock of birds that came by and got in the trees there, and they were chirping and singing like that. And after we were talking about the experience afterwards, and all of them were saying, gosh, what do you do about those birds? And one fellow said, what birds? He didn't hear them. He didn't hear them at all. See, now that's wonderful if you can sink down. I like that word, sinking down to total emptiness, to be filled with the presence, and you wouldn't do it. I have to tell you this, on that same retreat that I was doing, we had a little too many of them, and there was some of them sitting on the floor. And this one fella sat there and put his head back on his wife's lap. She was on the floor too, cross-legged there. And I mean, we got into the meditation, into the contemplation, and there he goes. He went sound asleep. And he snored with a vigorous snore. And pretty soon everybody was snickering and laughing. And we did. So we stopped the whole thing like that. And he shook himself and got up. And he said, what's going on? And they said, Ralph, do you realize you went sound asleep and you were snoring? I said, oh, golly. Susan, did I really? She said, Pat, we've been married 20-something years, and I have tried to remake you all those years. And I've had a wonderful experience right now this morning where God told me, give it up. Leave him alone. Let him be whatever he is. So I said to myself, snore on. And so that was a good little experience that happened to that. But if you can, empty yourself and move into the stillness of nothingness. Now there's another little aid that happens to you right here. It's called the prayer word. And people who are specialists in this form of contemplation find that if you say, pick a prayer word, it needs to be no more than two or three words, or maybe just one, Jesus or something. The one that comes to me all the time is, yes, Lord. And if you find your mind going, if I'm thinking, oh, I've got to do this afternoon, yes, Lord. And that interrupts the wavelengths that are going through your brain, and it helps you stop those things. And you need to stop it. I don't do this anymore, but it used to be that I would, if I would do this going to bed at night that way, then invariably what would come into my mind is a marvelous sermon. I had to get rid of it. But then I thought, will I remember it when I wake up? But you have to do it. Use your prayer word to sort of like moving into your brain and cutting those wavelengths short and get rid of them. Stop them, no matter how important it is. If I can get not think about little Nathaniel screaming, it'll be a marvelous thing if I can do that. But that's what would be wonderful if I could do that. And it's not insulting to Nathaniel at all. But a prayer word. Get a prayer word. It's like a blocking back in football. It's that prayer word is going to stop the flow of your thought train and empty. Now then, another thing. As we move into it, and I will say, now we are moving into stillness. And I find that if you will sing a little prayer song, and the one I'm going to start today, and I want you all to join in. Father, we adore you, lay our life before you, how we love you, then Jesus, and then Holy Spirit, and then Spirit. The praise is important in focusing our attention on the presence of God. And then you simply say, Lord, let me be empty that I may be filled with the fullness of you. Now, not every time, certainly not every time, but people who practice this have two experiences that are wonderful. One of them is, and I want you to close your eyes, I'll tell you to close your eyes, but one of the experiences is surrender. That you, and particularly with your eyes closed, you're not in charge of where you go anymore. And you just sort of slip down and relax, and you surrender yourself into God's hand. The life of perfect surrender is to be filled then with the fullness of God. And the second experience that people have, and this is strange, it's an affirmation that it's okay. What's okay? Your life is okay. Everything is okay. There's something that comes over you that simply says, with the fullness of Christ in my life, whatever is will be okay. It may even be a tragedy. It may even be cancer. It may be I hope that as I lay dying, I can move into this kind of prayer and have the experience, it's okay. And you're yielding, accepting, surrendering. And it's as if God says, it's my world you're walking through. Listen to that. It's my world you're walking through. And therefore, he is holding you, and it's okay. How long do you do this? 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes. Most people cannot do it more than 15 minutes. I can't. I do it about 5 minutes. We'll do it for a few minutes this morning. I want you to sit still now and move around your body until you are very comfortable, and I will do this. Young man, when we finish, would you come get this chair and move it over there? Yeah. Close your eyes. Relax the body. And now see if you can be still and stop thinking about anything. Now pick a prayer word, any word that comes to your mind. Don't think about it much, just whatever comes. And use that to block the process of having your mind wander. Now let us focus upon the presence of Christ. And sing with me. Father, we adore you, lay our lives before you, how we love you. Jesus, we adore you, lay our very slowly say with me, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed.